Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour DDC here on this gorgeous Wednesday here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Jason Cole has been covering the league for a long time, and the NFL came out with some rule changes, including overtime. And Jason, we got into it in the last hour of the show yesterday. Did not realize how many people cared that much about overtime the minute we started talking about it. And we got a little bit silly. Derek Mason was on the show with us yesterday, and we got a little bit silly. I get it, but man, our text line, our phone line was blowing up. People had opinions about overtime. So I was a little surprised that it garnered that much attention. But the league has decided to make some changes, in the postseason. What did you make of what they came out with?
Well, I mean, congratulations for doing something you should have done 12 years ago. I know they like to study numbers a lot and things like that, and they don't want to do things that have possible unintended consequences. That's an old Bill Polian line. He likes that one a lot. I think Rich McKay borrows that quite a bit. Isn't this kind of obvious? when New Orleans beat when they beat Minnesota in that NFC Championship game in the 2010 playoffs, the 2009 season, right? And that was Brett Favre going into New Orleans against Drew Brees and that great New Orleans defense that they had that year as they won the Super Bowl. If you didn't look back at that one and said, we need to change that rule then, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of credit for waiting now. I'm not patting these guys on the back. It's more like, what were you thinking all this time? you let what happened to Buffalo happen because you didn't think that it was a good idea to change the rules. And again, like when you change certain rules, like if you change defensive holding or you change, offensive holding by linemen, or if you change subtle things to rules, there are unintended things that happen. There are, people change the way that they're going to play the game depending on how those rules are. This is not one of those circumstances. This is simply a matter of, hey, is it fair in a tense game that both teams don't get to touch the ball in overtime after they've played 60 minutes and come to a tie? Like, if you can't just answer that and go, yeah, this is, both teams should touch the ball at least once, then you don't really get it. Like, that's just how I view it.
I wish they would have taken a step further, and I know it was on the table, but I guess there wasn't enough there to get it passed through. I hate ties. I mean, hate them. And it should
–
fans should protest. I mean, they should be offended that they pay that much money to walk away and see – they don't see a winner. Why do you think their reluctance to change it to get a winner in the regular season, Jason?
Because these are rules done by people who don't actually play the game.
Yeah, but they have people right in place that have. I mean,
most people who are owners are owners because it's a really good investment, right? And they make a lot of money doing this. And then they get, they have a great asset. Most of them never played. Not competition at this kind of level, nor do they relate to it. They just don't get it. And I would think, it'd be kind of a simple thing, like you went to a game and I paid, $100 for a ticket, $20 for parking, I bought a couple of beers and hot dogs. I'm in for $200, right, for the day, and I went and I watched a tie. Yeah. But there are not enough of them during the course of the season. I don't know, what do we average, 3 or 4 ties during a season? There are not enough of them to cause like some great groundswell of anger. So, I mean, I certainly not taking a broadside shot at you, but the idea of an uproar that causes a protest, that's overstating it a bit too. I mean, it's just like this is one of those common sense things. Like, do you go to are you going there to watch Ty or not? No, it's not entertaining. Ty is not entertaining. Should each team possess the ball? Yeah, they should. It's a fair way of doing it, at least one time, right? And then you got to get to the point where you get into sudden death because the game can't go on forever, right? So, yeah, I think these are just common sense, easy things. Like, I hate the 10-minute overtime rule because you can basically suck the life out of those 10 minutes with a long drive and manipulation of the clock.
That's a problem.
I don't like that. I don't like that. That's not entertaining because it just becomes really slow football. That's what I hate about that.
Jason Cole is with us, voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, author of 7 books. We're talking NFL with him. So, Jason, here's one philosophical question. Should it be different in overtime than the regular season?
No, I would make them both the same. I mean, again, we're not talking about a lot of games that are being impacted. So I would just make it one rule. But again, like you're dealing with people who, like, sometimes they're afraid. They just don't look at things and say, like, this doesn't work. It's like the replay rule, right? They put more and more replays in because they want to, you know, quote unquote, get plays right. I get that. I understand it. But when you slow the game down for 2 or 3 minutes every time you have a replay, you end up with a really dull product. And you end up with people, especially in this day and age, who are like picking up their phones in the stadium, or they're watching TV, or they're flipping to another game, or they're doing something else, and they're just looking for action. Look, I watch, 12 games a day, on DirecTV on Sundays to try and keep track of everything. I cannot tell you the number of times that I'm flipping through to find action and I'm on the same Charmin ad, right? Like, I just don't want to see the
that
Bears.
That does happen. It does happen.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Bears complaining about the scratchy tushy, okay? Like, that's just not the thing that I want, right? So I don't need to see another ad for blue pills. Like, it's just not what I'm interested in, okay? So can we just get to a point where we have more action and not more opportunities to fill in for commercials? Like, can we have something where we have continuous action and it's more interesting? That's what I want. And that's what I don't like about things like replay or, again, just making obvious decisions about what is best for the game.
Jason, I want to throw one more outside the box. We debated yesterday. See what you think. Because to me, I would like for the overtime, I think it would solve some equity issues if you made the decision on the coin toss a real decision. Right now, there's so much riding on the coin toss. Whoever wins the coin toss, it just automatically goes, ooh, the team that won the coin toss just got a big sigh of relief. They've got a big opportunity. And I think we would all agree that the way it is or has been, they have an advantage. But what if you created a scenario where there really was a decision on the coin toss? And what I threw out there was if you take the ball, you get it on a yard line that makes it much more advantageous for the defense. It's an arbitrary yard line. I threw out the 8-yard line or something. You would have to take a look at the percentages of an offense scoring from a certain yard line. And then you would really have a strategy. Do we want our offense on the field if we start that far back? Or do we want our defense? That to me would solve a lot of the problem here. Am I nuts?
I'm not against listening to the entire proposal. I'm a little bit, sort of like just play the game. Play the game under the rules that you have. And if you're kicking off, and you want to kick deep and just have them start on the 25-yard line, that's how the game is played. And that's what we have established. I'm willing to listen on data on stuff like that, like whether you start on the 20 or the 15 or the 10, and how does it impact the way that you choose to play and field position and whether the other team's going to get a chance if they stop you out, before you get another first down, that helps them get a field goal in return, and, and perhaps end the game a little bit faster. Yeah, I want to listen to that stuff, but without data, it's hard for me to sort that one out, right? So I'm kind of initially just against it until I hear it. But yeah, it's something worth thinking through. But the other thing is, it's tough with artificially imposed rules that displace action, right? Like, we've studied the percentages and this is what happens. Well, those percentages are great, but not all teams play the same way. Like, the Baltimore Ravens don't play football the same way that the Chiefs do. I mean, they play football in alignment, with positions that are all the same. That's not what I'm trying to say. But their style of play is much, much different because Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are different style quarterbacks. You're going to run a lot more with one of them, and you're going to throw a lot more with the other, and you design your teams accordingly, right? And their percentages of scoring, are different. And then, is your team designed to play defense more than another team, which may be more of a fast break kind of defensive style, which is we're playing for turnovers and to try and get extra possessions. Again, where I get classically back to the New Orleans Saints team that won the Super Bowl in the 2009 season, that was a team that was willing to give up points. They would trade points defensively. They would give it up to get an extra possession or two because their offense was so good that if they figured if they could steal an extra possession or two, they were going to win. And they were right. That was the correct strategy to play that season, and that's why I did it. So part of me is like, look, not everybody plays football exactly the same way. So you're restricting them by doing, by artificially putting in that rule.
30 seconds or less, Jason. After this upcoming season is completed, the Miami Dolphins will have learned what about Tua?
Oof, wow, that's a great question. And I think that I'm siding with that he's just not quite good enough to be a star caliber quarterback. The stuff that you saw when he was in college, some of that speed and quickness of his footwork, the explosiveness has not returned. He's not Steve Young that I thought he was going to be more like Steve Young. He's accurate. He's really good. But he's not the quick twitch athlete that Steve Young was at his time. And we're not seeing that. But they're doing everything they can to try and find out. That Tyreek Hill trade is a huge one.
Yep, no doubt. It will be interesting to see how it plays out. Jason, enjoyed the visit as always. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime, guys. Be good. Thanks.
All right, you do the same. Jason Cole's been covering the NFL for a long time. We'll talk about some of these new rule changes that you just heard. Got a lot of reaction yesterday, but first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right. What if you could be debt-free in 3 weeks? Well, Loan Pronto can help you with that. And they're helping people do that every day. It's Loan Pronto's debt consolidation home refi, wiping out tens of thousands of dollars in credit card bills and other high interest debt that you might have. So here's how it works. Your home value is way up, so you can refinance, take money out to pay off all your credit cards, eliminate PMI charges, pay off personal loans, or other high interest debt. One local couple, for example, $50,000 in credit card bills. Loan Pronto did a debt consolidation refi, and even though their mortgage rate went up a tad, they still came out ahead because they cut their monthly payments by $900. So why pay 20% interest when you can consolidate it into one low payment with a mortgage APR in the threes? Homeowners who do it save an average of $800 a month. Do it now. You could even skip your next house payment. That's what I call financial freedom. So call Loan Pronto now. That's 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval.
Don't forget you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Special thanks to Jason Cole. Good stuff from him, as always, talking all things NFL. Don't forget, this hour, before we get out of here, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Collective Soul and Switchfoot at the Opry House on Sunday, September 11th. So keep that in mind before we get out of here this hour. So we talked about the new overtime rule changes, and I'm just not I know I can tell by Jason's answers. It's like, okay, where you been? It's like, okay, duh. Where's this been? My outrage is more of being universal. Like, I would like to see ties go away, period. They don't belong in the game. You know how I feel about ties. You know I am not a right. fan. This goes back a long ways. When hockey, it was acceptable to tie, and I said, this is baloney. Get rid of ties. And obviously a new CBA, they did. I don't want to see it in football either. I don't want to see ties, period. There should be a winner and a loser. And I understand football games can't go on forever, but certainly 10-minute overtime is not enhancing a winner. Because
that I agree on.
The long-sustained drives, it kills a chance. If the first team doesn't do it, probably the other team isn't. You're not going to get a winner.
I 100% agree on the 10 minutes. I do think in the regular season, there has to be a limit on how long you'll let a game go. So I find it interesting, Darren, that you're against the really long baseball games. Like you're in favor of some of the changes baseball made, which I was more hesitant on. I'm coming around to it now. The ghost runner on second, or what, you know, whatever you want to call him, the Manfred man, as Jason Stark likes to call him, Rob Manfred. The rule where you put the guy on second to start the 10th inning. To me, it's different in the playoffs. You want to do that. It's just like hockey has the system to salvage overtime in the regular season. I just don't know that. You've been to games. You have great stories of games you went to that went 15 innings. You're like, God, we got to get out of here. It's been too long. Mm-hmm. Isn't there a point in a football game in the regular season where it hits that? Like, if you said no ties, you could have a game that really does go three overtimes.
If you talk to people in the business, if you talk to people that are privy to information behind the scenes, you will learn that the NFL, it's very important to them to keep games at a certain length.
Oh, yeah.
Very,
yeah.
very. They have no interest in being college
right.
football.
Right, so why do you feel so no differently about that as opposed to baseball with the time?
Because I think they're very calculated, so it's not in it's not in some weird danger zone, or it's not been out of control, because they make sure. They are very calculated. They want these games to end at a certain time. They do not want it to be 3.5-4 hours.
Right, but you're against that if it means it's a tie.
Yeah, but they're not going to go. They're not going to go 3.5-4 hours. I mean, it's
they could.
No,
there'll be that one odd game that does.
Really?
Well, especially if you have rules where everybody's got to get the ball and the possessions. You know, there's this slippery slope that you go down with trying to make it fair, as opposed to the other end of the spectrum, the island that D-Mace and Tim Hasselbeck were on together. That they're okay with the old philosophy of you want to win, stop the other team. If the other team gets the ball first, tough.
Derek and
stop them.
Tim were not worried about time or how long they played the game. And these are former players.
Yes. I think if you had the 15-minute limit, you would eliminate a few more ties. There's not a lot of ties. That was Jason's point. There aren't a lot of ties
but
when you come down to it.
One is too many, in my opinion.
You know, I can live
with... Two is egregious. Three is ridiculous.
Didn't we go back, Elijah? I think we put you on this during the season at some point. I apologize. I don't know if you remember, but the average amount of ties the last few years is maybe two.
It's one
three.
Or two a year.
Yeah.
It's one or two too many.
If you had three in a season, that would be a big number.
A tie is a good thing. I don't know why teams aren't using this to their advantage. I've brought this up many times. A tie is a win. It's not a loss. That actually helps you in the standings. I don't know why coaches are not just playing for the tie.
Well, the last game of the regular season is the lead example of that, the Raiders-Chargers game that, you know, both teams would have benefited from a tie.
Yes.
Of course.
Where's all the analytics people in the sport to tell them, hey, tie is a good thing?
But why did it come down to that? Because of the 10 minutes. If another 5 minutes were involved there, plausibly, that wouldn't have come down to that. There would have been another possession. You wouldn't have had that scenario, at least right then. I don't know. I do think that the postseason is different than the regular season. Like in baseball, I'm not for the ghost runner at second in a postseason game. And if
why,
the game goes 15 innings,
you can see him.
I know. Ghost
they're
man,
not dead.
The Manfred
they're
man
not
is
dead
a better.
And you can see him. How is it a ghost runner?
It's the wrong term. The Manfred man is really the best term that I've heard. The Manfred man, the guy on second. I like that in the regular season. I don't like it in the postseason. So I think in football, the postseason overtime, I'm okay with a different set of rules for a postseason game. But this whole thing of each team has to have the ball, I wrestle with that. I still think if you could just not have so much riding on the coin toss, you'd win the battle. You'd be able to live with the consequences no matter what you set the rules as. Got to go for two, got to be a touchdown, all of these things. If you just made the coin toss a tough decision by the consequences of what you do when you take the ball, then I think we would have this. A lot of this would be solved. I may be on my own island there. It's not near Derek and Tim's island. It's a different island. But I just don't. I wish they would look at that more. Like if I said you got the ball on the 5 yard line, would you take the ball if you win the coin toss?
Depends on my defense.
Then, there you go.
Titans 2 years ago.
That's the strategy.
I would take the ball.
That's the strategy. Some teams would take the ball, but there would be some teams that would say, you know what, I like my defense against this offense.
Typically, if you're in the playoffs, you probably should like your defense. But Titans 2 years ago would have taken the ball.
The extreme example that we're all talking about is the Bills-Chiefs playoff game. We know that.
Yep.
And we knew as soon as that coin went up there, whichever way this goes.
Right, whoever got the ball was going to win, and the other fan base and the other team was going to be furious.
Right. Now, would it have changed if the coin toss in that particular game goes the Chiefs' way and they have to start on the 5 or the 7, whatever we deem more fair to the defense? On that day, probably it wouldn't have mattered. They could have started on their own 1, and they probably would have gone down there and scored, right? It seems like it anyway. But at least it would have been tougher. You got a chance. I think there's a difference. You know, that's 2 more first downs, in theory, you have to get just to get to the 25 or wherever you start from now. You start at the 25?
Yeah, I think.
Presuming that the kickoff is a non-issue like it usually is now.
The reason I thought that was intriguing is because I think then you are talking about decisions.
Yes.
And we're not.
At least there's a decision.
We're
right
not
now,
having
the crowd goes nuts
right.
on the coin toss.
Right.
Nope. Like the crowd shouldn't go nuts on the coin
there's
toss.
There's no
it's
decision.
It's not that exciting.
Now. Right.
Yeah.
We're getting some responses on our text line. Also, Corey wants to weigh in. We'll get to him on the other side as you listen to the DDC on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're discussing the new overtime rule. So we looked up during the break. How many ties have there been since 2012? So in the last decade, let's go to our crack staff desk, Elijah Campbell, here at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. How many ties have we had in the National Football League since 2012, Elijah?
Since 2012, the NFL has had 10 ties.
Basically
16.
One a year.
Yeah, and apparently they made the change to the minutes in 2017.
17, so half the time they had. Look, in 15 minutes, it was going to be harder. In 10 minutes, I guarantee you it's accelerated. I'd love to know the breakdown of 12 to 17, how many ties there were. Probably 2.
So from 2012 to 2016, when that first rule was changed, there were ties on 6% of overtime games. Since the change from 15 minutes to 10
minutes.
I bet it's
gone way up.
By 1%. 7%
really?
Of tie or overtime games in the NFL since the time change was made.
Okay.
Well, 7% of those games.
Staying corrected. All right, good stuff.
So we're not talking about a lot of ties.
But like I said,
that was Jason's point back to you. Jason Cole, our guest, earlier this hour, he was like, you're bent out of shape on the ties. There really aren't that many ties.
Yeah, but again, one is too many.
Okay, I know. All right. The world's not a perfect place.
Corey Curtis, News 2, wants to weigh in. Corey, what's up?
Okay, I support you fully, Darren. There should be no ties ever. And if they're worried about how long the games are being played, you're talking about 10 games in 10 years that would have been played a little bit longer. That's not enough to wear out teams for a season, okay? You're talking about one game a year that goes a little bit extra. So that excuse doesn't wash with me. Now, listen, I am on the island of playing sudden death. okay? And I realize Mike Tomlin and I...
You realize you'd have to live with D-Mace and Tim Hasselbeck. Is that okay with you, Corey?
I'm good. And Mike Tomlin would be there with us, too.
Yes, he would. That was established yesterday. You're right.
Because I agree, you've had 60 minutes to win this football game. Don't let it come down to a coin toss, all right? Or how about this? Play defense. It's a novel idea. You know, you don't just have to be an offensive juggernaut. You can play defense. And the last thing I'll bring up, and I don't know what the overall numbers are. Last year, the Titans played 3 overtime games. Do you know how many of those were determined by the coin toss?
None.
None of them. Not a single one. Now, in the playoffs, I get it. Because in the playoffs, you have elite quarterbacks where the coin toss is much more likely to be important. So I would be willing to discuss changing the playoff format, much like you have in hockey, where you've got, you know, sudden death overtime in the regular season. You know, that's 5 minutes, and then you go on and you go to your shootout. But in the playoffs, it changes. So I would be willing to do a sudden death in the regular season and then change for the playoffs because of the change in quarterback play largely that you're going to get there. But I fight with people about this all the time. Sudden death to me is the most efficient way to go. And, you know, Jason said it, you know, when he talked about kicking off, play the game, play the game. Don't fear one part of your game. If you fear that your defense is so bad that you can't win, if you lose a coin toss, then that's on you. Go get a better.
Okay.
Defense.
So Corey, do you support my proposal of at least making it a little tougher on the offense? If you're going to, especially if you're going to go sudden death,
that you
have to start deeper in your own territory.
If that's
fair?
What they want to do, then that's fine. Then that's fine. But you know, if you want to, like, say you're going to start on the 10 or you're going to start on the 15, we're not going to kick off again. You're going to have to start a little fine. But again, I will live on the sudden death island with Tim and D-Mace and Mike Tomlin, and we will have beers and pizza, and we will watch people, you know, say it's not fair because their defense stinks.
All right, I'm going to challenge you on one other thing you said, Corey.
Okay.
Because let's just take the 3 Titans games that went to overtime. We'll go back through
yep.
them. When you say it didn't come down to the coin toss, that's true because the team that got the ball didn't go down and score the touchdown.
They didn't win the game.
But did the team that win the coin toss eventually win? Because you get more. You could get an extra possession if it goes, you know,
well,
2
okay,
possessions
really,
for you, 1 for me.
Where,
that's an advantage for winning the coin toss.
Are we always going to play where it's not baseball, okay? You're not always going to have a bottom of the inning.
Right.
All right? I mean, at some point you got to get a stop.
Yes.
You didn't get it in the first 60 minutes, okay? At some point, you're going to have to get a stop.
I'm just trying to take the advantage away. We have to put our crack staff on it. What percentage
game
of the time does the team that wins the coin toss win the game in overtime?
I don't know. But, okay, a couple years ago, Aaron Rodgers either fumbled or threw a pick 6 in overtime on the opening possession. It was like the second play. Was it fair because the Packers' defense didn't get a chance to go out there and score?
I see what you're saying, yes.
The Titans lost an overtime game to the Lions when I think Billy Volek got sacked for a safety.
That was the Bears. The Bears, yeah.
The Titans' defense did not get to go out there and get a chance to get a safety of their own. I mean, you could pick and choose what's fair, what's not fair. Like Jason said, and I agree, play the game. You're good enough or you're not at the end of the day.
How could you not remember the game against the Bears?
I know, scoring? Corey. This was the Bears that sacked Billy Volek.
I should call in with your Darrington Evans Bears jersey on right now. How could you not remember that?
I just remember Fred Miller playing on one leg.
That was a rough day.
Do you have a Darrington Evans Bears jersey? Are they for sale?
I'm not sure. It was funny because I was at the combine when somebody asked John Robinson, somebody not from Nashville, asked John Robinson about Darrington Evans. And, I mean, his eye came up like the Rock. He's like, what?
I mean, the people's eyebrow?
Yeah, he gave him the people's eyebrows. He's like, who are you talking about? And the guy's like, yeah, you know, third round pick. And when J-Rob walked away, I looked at the guy and said, they hate him. And he's like, what? I'm like, they hate him. He's not going to be on the team. He got released like 5 days later.
Yeah. I think I saw or read this morning, it was 50, to answer your question, Willie, I think, as Elijah's looking this stuff up, I think it was 56%, I believe, is the number I saw.
Which doesn't seem like a huge advantage,
enough.
But that's an advantage. To me, well, this is my point. It's an advantage enough to where it's a no-brainer that you take the ball. I just would like to put a little more drama in the decision.
Kick off and put his defense out there.
It rarely happens.
And win the game.
Oh yeah, no, it has happened, but it just almost never happens. I mean, 99% of the time, the team that wins the coin toss takes the ball.
If you don't take the ball, you're telling the world our quarterback stinks.
Exactly. So it's not a decision. The crowd shouldn't go wild when you win the coin toss. The crowd should be like, okay, our defense is going. Like, let's put a decision in there.
Yeah. But look, I mean, with the Titans front seven the way it is right now, are you terrified if they don't win the coin toss?
No, but you're at a disadvantage. You're at a disadvantage if you lose the coin toss in overtime. That's what we're trying to fix.
If you can get a three and out, if your defense goes out there and does what it is paid millions of dollars to do, you can definitely gain a field position advantage on the exchange of possession. If your defense does what it's paid to do.
Yes, that's true, but that's why I still say, though, it's an advantage. Then why is it an advantage? And everybody takes the ball when they win the coin toss. Make it so it's a little tougher.
In their quarterback.
It's an offensive-driven league for sure.
Yeah, it is. You know what?
I would be willing to play the sudden death.
I can go around with this, guys. Winning regulation.
I think there's a lot more people in that camp with you, Corey, and D-Mace.
Oh, I know. I get people who hate me for this.
It's going to be a very popular island, though. I think there would be enough people on your island.
You'd be surprised. Yeah. This is not Tom Hanks and Wilson. I think you guys would have a lot of people on
your island. I thought it was. I put out a tweet yesterday inviting people to join me on my island with Mike Tomlin.
I think you'd be surprised. You'd have a lot bigger crowd.
Everyone in my office not just disagrees with me, vehemently disagrees with me.
I would say clean up your island because I think you're going to have some guests. I'm just saying. Make sure it's clean.
You know what? Maybe we're going to put a multi-floor structure up. maybe it'll be like a resort.
You know what you should do?
Harrison Ford will
Corey,
fly the plane out there 6 days, 7 nights.
How about this? Enclose your island. How about that? Huh? Put a roof on it. Put a roof on it, Corey.
It's
climate control.
It's a retractable roof if I need the state money, okay? I can't afford it on my own, so I got to put a retractable roof in there to get the investment from the state.
All right, real quick, since you've been here so long like us, okay, where do you think ultimately this – when are we going to know more? When are we going to get renderings? When is this going to be real? When's the shovel going to get in the ground? Where are we going?
Look, I've been talking about this for a few years. And I think you have too, Darren. This has been the inevitable future, okay? And, you know, there are people who go kicking and screaming against the future all the time. This has been the inevitable future of this team, of this stadium, and of this city. And the fact that Burke Nihil goes before, you know, the sports authority, and, you know, that wasn't like a presentation. That was just an update on where they're at. And it's dropping on them, hey, we can be ready to go by 2026. We can have, you know, we can have the World Cup there, and we can do this, and we can do this. And what, like a month later, Governor Lee is coming out with $500 million, which, by the way, is like double what Nissan Stadium cost. And that's like one-fifth of the cost of a future dome stadium. But the fact, I think everybody sees the urgency in this. And I think it's going to happen a heck of a lot faster than people do. I will only say this. That dome stadium, which I hope is a retractable roof because I like the outdoors, it will be up. I don't know if I'm going to say by 2026.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be.
I would hope so, but it's such a big project. But it will be within a one to it will be in the 26 to 28 time frame, but probably closer to 26.
Yeah, good stuff.
Hey, because the Titans are working on it. Look, they're working on it. I mean, they've looked around. I mean, they looked around to see what their facility needed to be, and I'm talking about St. Thomas Sports Park. And I got a chance to go in there the other day, and it's like a real NFL building now. It's amazing, and I congratulate them. So you know they've been doing their homework on what they want this stadium to be. And I think the really interesting question here is, do they want the $500 million?
Yes,
because they may not. They may just want to. They may want the money in their pocket from building this stadium and everything that comes through there. Mm. I could be wrong, but we have to see the answer to that question.
It is nice to know their facility is nicer than Innsworth now, so I agree with you. Corey, good stuff. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm sorry to hijack.
No, you're good. You're good. We liked it. Corey Curtis, News 2. Good stuff from him. Eric wants to weigh in. A lot more feedback. We'll do that to wrap up the second hour next. We'll talk to Rob Stanley from Robbie and Rex Road coming up at high noon. Chris Mason at 1 o'clock. Good discussions on the new overtime changes. Eric wants to weigh in on our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Eric, what's up?
Hey guys, usually I call in the course for This Is What I Know, and you just made the list, but now you're talking about a topic I'm kind of fired up about. I guess you're gonna put me on that island too, because I did not like this, guys. I'm a guy, it seems like we're more and more wanting to get away from this, and of course what's the old saying, offense sells tickets, but defense wins championship, and it's just another step where we're trying to just legislate defense out of the NFL. And guys, here's the thing about it is, if they were going to do a change, I would have rather somebody came up with this idea. I can't remember who it was a while back. I would rather them do this: just not have a coin flip in overtime. Whoever has the possession, just let them continue on drive. If they score, the game's over, and do it that way, guys. One of the things, I guess, if there is a benefit to it now, it'll place a strategy now where people who win the coin flip now may decide, well, since we get a possession too, we're just going to let the other team have the ball first, and maybe we'll go second after that. Maybe that's probably,
I guess. Well, wait a minute. Explain that. Whoever had the ball last would get the
ball. Wins the coin flip at overtime may decide, well, we're not going to take the ball. We'll just give it to the other team.
No. You said skip the coin flip. Did you say the team that had possession last would get the ball first?
No. I'm just saying skip the coin flip. Uh-huh. If they're still driving, just let whoever has the ball continually drive down to start, just flip the field and start wherever they is with the ball, like a regular quarter. And if they score, the game's over that way.
Oh, so you're just saying pick up where you left off. Okay.
Yeah. I would have no problem if you wanted to do that. That wouldn't bother me at all. But here's my thing against it, guys. Of course, Josh has, he gets a touchdown. But then after that, you could have things happen like turnovers or fumbles or whatever. The game could continue to go on. Or Patrick Mahomes then gets the ball and he goes back to score a touchdown. The game will be over. We'll see. Then they'll just say, well, the defense could have stopped him. All of this is just an extra possession to me in that case. Or what if Patrick Mahomes goes back and he gets hurt? I mean, what are people going to say then if that happens? I mean, if you just elongate the game. Guys, I'm just to the point where, you know, I just wonder, too, if in today's NFL – if guys like in the past, like the great defensive players like a Lawrence Taylor or Ray Lewis or the great like Bears 46 defense or the Ravens historic defense, if they would have been able to play as well or being as effective in today's NFL, I just don't know if that would have been the case. I'm just, you know, to me there are 11 guys on both sides of the field, and I think defense needs to make some stops. I mean, I was so happy when Cincinnati got an interception overtime after Kansas City won the flip because everybody just assumed Kansas City was going to win.
Yeah.
And my also other point, too, was that Buffalo had 13 seconds to stop Kansas City from going down the field to force overtime, which they didn't do. It just gets to a point where defense has to make a play, and I think we're just prisoners of the moment. Everybody wants to continuously shoot out the great quarterbacks, keep throwing the ball. And there's also 11 other guys on the other side of the defense that can make plays. And it's like, to me, we're just trying to legislate defense out of football, guys. And that's just my thoughts on it, guys.
Thank you, Eric.
Y'all take care.
See you Friday at noon. He's always got somebody to put on the list or something.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Call me strange, but I hate dome stadiums. I've been to Mercedes, NRG, Lucas Oil. I can't stand a 70-degree game all week of the year. Outdoor football in December and January seems to be much better, in my opinion. Yes, even with the wind and negative 2 degrees. If you need perfect conditions to attend a game, I think you should stay home. Well, the problem is, Andrew, that's exactly what people are doing. So that's not a good thing. And look, you're entitled to your opinion.
That's why ideally
I vehemently disagree. But because guess what? People will stay home. I would have no desire, I mean zero, to sit in that game against Miami this year. Zero. What is attractive about sitting in a downpour for 3 hours? Nothing. The answer is absolutely nothing when you can watch it at home on your 70-inch TV with a cold one in your hand. I mean, nothing. But, I mean, you're entitled to that. I have said in every condition that there is outdoors for football or any outdoor sporting event. And I can tell you, maybe it's an age thing. I get it, Andrew. I don't know your age. Maybe you're young. Maybe, you know, your tolerance level is a lot higher when you're young. You tend to care less. As you get older, you tend to care more about this stuff. You tend to be more of a snob about this stuff. I've admitted, I've become a snob on things. I don't want to be sitting outdoors if it's not perfect. I just don't. It's not attractive to me.
But at the same time,
there's a lot of other people
that
feel that way,
too. A lot of people will agree with him, though.
Of course, yes.
But, no, that's why, ideally, the retractable roof is the way to go. But
and you know that's my first preference.
Yes,
but
the cost.
It may be too expensive.
Yes.
I don't know.
I have come around to the roof thing because I'm with you. I think the further we go, the less people will be willing to sit in the elements.
I'm not interested in lightning
especially
strike
in
games.
This,
by the way, that's
town.
Another thing. I've been to lightning strike games.
It happens a lot here.
It happens a lot. There was a Tennessee football game.
Oh, yeah.
They started their season off at Nissan Stadium, and it was delayed, I don't know, an hour and a half. You know what I did? I left. I went home. I left because I didn't have any interest. It was still way too early in the game, and they delayed it for an hour
you
and
mean
a half, 2 hours.
You didn't have fun just standing underneath the bleachers?
No,
with
I left.
Thousands of people huddled together for you don't know how long? Or going to the gym, at Memorial Gym?
And I've done that, Willie. Thank you.
Yes.
I was at a Lightning Strike Vanderbilt game.
Yeah. Did they put everybody in the
gym?
Guess
what? They moved us to a hot gym because it doesn't have air conditioning. And it was September. And it was 190 degrees in that gym. And they wouldn't let my son go play basketball because at least that could have been something to distract him. We couldn't go down to the court and shoot basketball. So you know what we did eventually? We left. We didn't go back to the game. We left. That's not appealing to me. Sorry. We tried. I don't want to sit through 2 hour lightning strike.
And at the same time, I sympathize. I don't like sitting in the Georgia Dome. I've been to a lot of games in the Georgia Dome. They're not exciting. The Georgia Dome, the old traditional dome.
But that was the
not exciting.
I've been to the Pontiac Silverdome. I've been to the Georgia Dome. I've been the white the Superdome. I've been to, but that's not today's dome. Today is a glass dome.
That's why the windows and everything is the key
to
try to create some semblance of we're outdoors.
And like I said, everybody's entitled. He's entitled to his opinion. That's fine. If he wants to sit in -2 degrees, have at it, man. Not me. Those days are gone. I've done it. I've sat in a blizzard at Orchard Park. Vikings, Bills. Probably had 14 inches of snow during the course of the game. I remember it. I was a lot younger. It was in the 90s. And I was much more tolerable. May have had some bourbon in my veins, too, that kept me warm. But today, I don't have any interest in doing that. I did then, and I was okay with it. But I don't want to do that today. That's just me. And oh, by the way, it's not really about, for me, it's about what can the city do? What can the city get? By the way, leagues also tell you, if you're open air, we've already had these discussions with Bill Hancock and others. If you don't have an enclosed stadium, we have no interest in coming to your really, really cool city that's very attractive. Close it, and we're coming. So it's really not about how I feel about it. It's about getting the big ticket items to our market. And you need a roof to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling is the roof.
Thank you, Michael.
Yep.
That's
yep.
true.
Yep.
That is very true. That is a true statement. It really is. We'll come back. We'll talk with Robbie Stanley. By the way, Heidi from Dixon on our text line says, no ties. No ties. And I'm with Heidi. No ties. Who wants to see a tie?
Also, final stat Elijah has put together. Teams that win the coin toss score a touchdown on the first drive to end the game 21% of the time. Was that only in 2021?
That was the 2021 regular season. There were 19 overtime games. 4 ended on a first drive.
Okay,
touchdown.
So that was just last year.
Yes.
I would say that's probably pretty consistent over the years. I'd love to see year to year. But to me, that's data that's worthy of looking at.
By the way, Andrew has weighed back in and said, my 10-year-old son loved the Miami game. I have a 10-year-old too, Andrew, and good for him. Good for him. I mean, wow. I'm sure he did. Probably did, right? A 10-year-old would love a downpour for 3 hours. My
I
son
just
loves to
sick.
My 10-year-old loves to be wet too. I don't know what the fascination is with being wet, but he loves being wet too. And I'm like, what are you? Why do
wet
you always
is,
want to be
wet?
Drenched?
Is one thing. Cold and wet is a
yeah.
Bad combo.
That's a bad combo. All right, we'll come back. Robbie Stanley to kick off third hour next.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.